Some people believe on Christ, but they continue to have doubts. They are not quite sure about their salvation. Well, if it were not for the Word of God, I can understand how a person could doubt. But God has given us His Word. Need we doubt a God who cannot lie? After our Lord told Nicodemus about the new birth, we read in verse 9 of chapter 3 of John, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Christ did not answer Nicodemus directly, but rebuked him for his spiritual incompetency. Notice in verse 10 where Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? A master could be read the master. Nicodemus was not merely a teacher of the Jews, he was a well-known teacher of high rank and position, respected and admired by his people. A man in such a position should have a masterful grasp of spiritual truth. He should have been familiar with the scripture passages telling of new life through the Messiah. Now, the next verse indicates that up until this time, Nicodemus still had doubts in his heart. He was weighing the evidence, though he was not a believer. Jesus said in verse 11, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Nicodemus was assured that all the Lord Jesus had spoken was truth. Christ was not offering theories that had not been tried. He said, We do know, and further, we have seen. But in spite of this, Jesus had to say of Nicodemus, Ye receive not our witness. Here was the Son of God speaking the truth of God, but it was rejected and spurned. Our Lord then made a comparison between earthly and heavenly things. The new birth is distinctly earthly in the sense that it is God's means for men on earth to enter into heavenly things. Christ had just given his discourse on the new birth. Then he said, If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is not to say that he would not tell Nicodemus of heavenly things, for he proceeded to tell him of the plan of redemption to be revealed in the cross, God's eternal love for fallen men, the purpose for Christ coming into the world, and other heavenly truths that were to be made available to all through faith in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 13 we read, No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Nicodemus was being told that the one to whom he was speaking was the eternal Son of God, the only rightful one to ascend into the presence of the Father. Now someone may ask, well, what about Enoch? What about Elijah? Actually, they ascended into a place of rest, reserved for those who love God. They did not ascend into the presence of the Father as Christ did when he ascended. He is in heaven at this moment, seated at the right hand of God the Father, the position of authority and power. There our Savior will remain until the appointed time of his return. Doubtless, Nicodemus, like hundreds of the Jews, thought that when the Messiah came, it would be in a blaze of glory to set up his temporal and material kingdom. The Lord Jesus informed Nicodemus that this would not be the case, but rather, he would be crucified on a cross. He taught further that this was God's plan for man's deliverance from a spiritual incapacity, even as the brazen serpent was Israel's deliverance from the physical. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, we read, even so must the Son of God be lifted up. There is a very definite relationship between the serpent in the wilderness and the lifting up of the Son of Man. As the children of Israel were dying from their snake bites, so all of humanity is dying from the curse of sin. But as the serpent of brass was lifted up by an act of God's grace to provide a miraculous deliverance, so Christ was to be lifted up on the cross to provide a way of escape from sin. This escape is not only for some, but for everyone who will believe on Christ. Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The cross provided the means for all to be saved. The Israelites had to look to the serpent to be saved. You will recall, however, that as the children of Israel looked to the brazen serpent, some had doubts. Some looked with skepticism, thinking, "What good is that to deliver me from death?" Those with this thought were not saved. It was necessary to look by faith. Well, so it is in trusting Christ for salvation. Some may look at him and admire him as a great teacher, or even as a fearless martyr. But that doesn't save. We must see him as the sin-bearer, the one who died for all sin. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world, as we're told in 1 John 2, verse 2. If one looks to Christ with a sincere, earnest heart belief, he will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, to perish means to be cast into outer darkness, to forever miss heaven, and to be eternally plagued by the torments of hell. Spiritual death is more than annihilation. It is eternity without God in the suffering and pangs of hellfire. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, we're told, which is the second death. Some have sought to tone this down. Others have tried to explain it away. But still it stands as the authoritative word of Almighty God. Why should anyone suffer such torment when he might enjoy the bliss of life eternal in the presence of Christ? God says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Good intentions are not sufficient. One must act before it is too late. I was speaking at a well-known Bible conference in the South. Working at this conference was a very active Christian businessman I had known for years. After the morning message of my last day, word came that this friend had gone to be with the Lord very suddenly. He appeared to be in perfect health when I talked to him the day before. But how quickly the angel of death ushered him away. This man knew the Lord, but many people who go so quickly don't know the Lord. Thank God that the Lord Jesus was lifted up on the cross to die for our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My dear friend, have you believed on him, or are you putting this off to another day? You say, "Well, after I make my money, after my business seems to take hold, then I'll think about settling down and getting religion and so forth and so on." Well, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about salvation through Jesus Christ, eternal salvation. Man is lost without Christ. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And until you have your sins forgiven through Christ, you are lost forever. You are condemned to an eternal hell. That's why I sincerely invite you to make your decision for the Lord now. Let Jesus Christ become your heavenly God, and Jesus as your Savior will lead you step by step all the way until you meet him face to face. Make that decision. Bow your head and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved, and right now I receive you as my Savior and Lord." You'll never regret this. You'll praise God all through eternity that you came to his Son, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can know we are saved and have everlasting life. May those with doubts enter into this blessed assurance as they trust your holy word. You cannot lie. You have never lied. And you have given us truth. Help us, Father, to believe you. For we ask in the name of Jesus, amen.